I'm not going to comment, but I hope I haven't offended the slime molds who might be listening.
So we've gone from dolphins and animals to plants to machines, really animal, vegetable, and mineral, I guess,
yes.
and applied the idea of intelligence to all three groups. And if anything, our definition of intelligence is murkier than when this conversation began.
It is remarkable because you know that if we were having this discussion 100, 200 years ago, there would be absolutely no question that the only intelligence was Homo sapiens intelligence. We were suffering from tunnel vision, and that vision seems to be getting broader all the time.
But one thing we do know is that there is no question that our production team, at least, has smarts, thanks to Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
And also thanks to Google and Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to You Think You're So Smart. There's more Big Picture Science on iTunes and through the link on our website. And while you're online, you might find and download our Big Picture Science app. It's on iTunes, Android, and Windows 8.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio because you know you have to be smart to build a radio, well, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like this show.
This is WHFR 89.3, Dearborn. And you're listening to a pre-recorded show of Impact. Hey, everyone, this is Sean Lewis, and you are now listening to Impact on 89.3 WHFR.FM. I'm sitting here with Maureen McArath and Heidi Bree of the Going Green Foundation. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you today?
Doing all right. How about you, Heidi?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing all right.
This is Heidi's first time.
Yeah. And she's the new PR director.
She is.
Mm-hmm. Of the foundation. And can you guys tell me a little bit about you guys?
Okay. Well, the foundation was established in 2009. It's called the Going Green Foundation because most of our plans are to do sustainability projects throughout the community. Our first project is a 2.5-acre sustainable organic farm in Crawley Park. We broke ground in 2009. The first 2 years, we were under grants, and all the food went to local food banks. Last year was our first year at the Dearborn's Farmers Market, and it went great. So we're really excited about participating at the Farmers Market again this year. And just a lot of things going on with the foundation and adding new things to the farm this year. Last year, we added a beehive. This year, we're adding chickens. Hopefully, we'll be getting our orchard in this year as well. So a lot going on.
So let me ask you, because you keep talking about this farm, where mm-hmm. exactly is this farm located?
Okay, it's located in Crawley Park. So that's like the west side of Dearborn. It's off of New York Street behind Long Elementary School. So kind of behind Westwood and Gully. There's a strip of land that's 2.5 acres back there that had never been utilized for anything. And the city and I, you know, did a lease for 20 years on the property to start this organic farm.
Oh, this is nice. So it's some sort of urban farm?
It is. It's an urban farm. It's about 100 yards away from Long Elementary School. So we do a lot of programs with the school itself. My son's a student there at Long, and my daughter went to Long Elementary School as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you do things with the community also, like feed them. Is there... Because we're going to get into some of this in a little more depth a little bit later, but you do things with the community, such as feeding people. And...
Right. We donate food to our local food banks. And the other thing, and the big part of the foundation, and the big part why we started the organic farm, is because we wanted to make the cost of organic foods the same cost as non-organic foods. A lot of people would make that switch to organic, but the cost sometimes prohibits that. We don't want there to be anything prohibiting into people eating the healthiest that they can.
Yeah, I think, you know, I read somewhere they talked a little bit about the food deserts, and that a lot of times in the poor communities, they can't get organic food or, you know, fresh farm food.
Well, most of them don't even have grocery stores. That's what a food desert is. They're buying their groceries from 7-Elevens So you're seeing a lot of processed foods and things like that, stuff at local gas stations, but they don't have access to normal grocery stores either. You know, there might be one in a community, and if you don't have a vehicle, how are you going to get there?
Right, you're right. You're right. You're right on that. And so what is some of the new stuff you guys are doing? I mean, how are you reaching out to Greater Dearborn, I guess?
Well, you know, with Dearborn, we actually were one of the first people to do a green festival in Dearborn. So the Going Green Foundation had a first green festival here a few years ago. And now we've incorporated the green festival, excuse me one second, into the Dearborn Homecoming. So every year at the Dearborn Homecoming, we have a green alternatives expo. We have about 20 or 30 vendors out every year now, kind of giving people alternative suggestions. So it's also about education. I mean, you know, we're starting to see more and more in the news lately, which is educating people about, you know, the different GMOs and different things in foods and pesticides. And, you know, now people are becoming a little bit more conscious of it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's kind of talk about that a little bit. I guess you have some people who would say, well, why do we need organic farming? I mean, Monsanto is helping us out, feeding us just fine, right?
Well, Monsanto is feeding you a lot of GMO foods, and they're feeding you fine if you want GMOs. Now, what they're finding with GMOs...
Well, wait, hold on.
Okay.
What exactly is a GMO?
A genetically modified food. So what they've done is they've taken that that seed, say it's a corn seed, and they've modified it genetically with science so that it doesn't reproduce seeds. So now, you know, normally if you use like an heirloom, I'll use heirloom organic seed, when the plant flowers and you get the fruit, either tomato or whatever, it's going to have seeds in it. And you can seed bank those seeds. You can use those seeds. With GMOs, it doesn't give you seeds. And it also kind of has its own self-pesticide in it. So it tries to, it's something that they genetically modified to keep bugs and different things off of it so they can grow more of it. What they're now finding is that those genetic modifications are actually changing the makeup of our bodies. Not a good thing.
No, I guess not.
So no GMOs in my family. Right. But the thing is that's why there's that big push now. You're hearing about the big push on labeling. You know, in Europe and other countries, they label their food. So, you know, if it's a GMO or a non-GMO, there's a big fight in America going on because people are becoming more conscious. And if it's labeled that it's a GMO, it's going to become like high fructose corn syrup. No one's going to want it.
Right. I got you. So let me ask you this. We're gonna jump back. What I wanted to do was give a very quick overview and then kind of talk about some of the other stuff. But I want to let people know, just in case they're getting out their car right now.
Yeah.
How do I find the Going Green Foundation and how would I volunteer?
Sure, we have a website, www.thegoinggreenfoundation.org. If you go onto our website, there's an area there that's going to list different ways that you can volunteer. You can contact us, tell us what you're interested in doing, and we would definitely love to put you to work. We have different things that people can do from, you know, the business aspect of grant writing, you know, helping us go after different sponsorship or organizations, all the way to just coming and working on the farm. We have a wonderful Work for Food program. So this is a program that we've implemented for low-income people or people who are trying to save some money. You can come trade some of your time, and we'll give you fresh produce for the however many hours that you work at our farm.
And you can't get that anywhere.
No, well, you can't. Yeah. It's kind of going back to the old bartering system in a way. You know, you trade your time, I'll give you this. Right. Instead of, you know, it's the money, you know. And like I said, my big thing is just trying to bring the cost of the organics down.
Well, let me ask you this. What got you into this? I mean, what made you say, you know what, I'm going to farm down the block?
Yeah, it's going to make no sense at all. What got me into it is when we were all going through the foreclosure crisis, Dearborn got hit really, really hard with that. I started noticing that my neighbors were losing homes that had lived there for generations and generations. I also had a house that had the flip mortgage as well, so I was in the same situation. The thing about me is that when tragedy or something hard kind of hits me, I also have the ability to realize that I'm not the only one. Like, it's not just me. It's not just happening to me. And I always want to find a way that I can help others. So for me, it was about what can I do for my community to, A, strengthen them, bring them back together, and make it a nice place that people are going to want to buy homes in or come and live there with their families and their children. So I knew that I couldn't help with, you know, I didn't have money myself to help with mortgages or housing, but I did know that I could, you know, plant seeds and water them and maybe do a garden that I thought would, I just wanted to do like a nice little community garden. And that's not what happened. It started as a very small idea and wound up getting into becoming even bigger. So they couldn't find a small lot for me, and they offered me the 2.5 acres. Then I became a farmer. That's just how it happened. That was not my plan.
Well, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think 2008 for a lot of people would be burned into their memory. A lot of people changed their lives, you know.
Well, for our generation, you know, who didn't go through the Depression and who didn't go through like some of the major wars, you know, we did have the smaller ones, but, you know, that not affected, but this really did affect a lot of people. I mean, it didn't matter if you were wealthy or if you were poor, you know, that foreclosure crisis hurt a lot of people. And it was just about how do we as a community, I'm very much about the community, how do we as a community come together, stand together, and support one another? And that's what it's all about.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about Heidi a little bit since she's
love Heidi.
She's over there all quiet and everything. So you're the new PR director. What brought you to the Going Green Foundation?
All right. Well, basically, you know, we hear a lot about all these bigger organizations, you know, because they already have the funding. So, you know, we always hear about them in the media. But I think it would be cool, you know, to do something from a local standpoint. And after researching into the Going Green Foundation, I think it's great what they're doing, because even like Maureen said, you know, you have the GMOs, and I think a lot of people, they don't know how bad it is for you, you know, because you get it in the media like, oh, you know, this is fine, eat this, you know, and it's everywhere. But you never hear about like organic and how, you know, the pesticides can, you know, alter the way your body is. And we don't even know. I mean, GMOs might be part of the reason why people won't be living as long as they possibly could.
Well, you know, they're attributing things like AD and ADHD and some of these other things to the foods that we're eating. They do, you know, my daughter had ADHD, and it was no red dyes, that you had to cut out sugar. I mean, you know, there is a direct correlation to what we put into our bodies and how our bodies are going to do for the rest of our lives.
That's true. And I mean, I think, too, if I could help get the word about that to the media, because you have, like I was telling Maureen one time, it seems like not enough research has been putting into how GMOs affect us, because I think people are afraid to, like, realize the truth. Like, they know if consumers knew about this that they wouldn't want it anymore.
Well, that's why I think that there's such a big fight going on right now, because the people who have researched it and understand it know that there's a concern about it, and the people who are selling it, you know, it's unfortunate, it's still about, you know, the dollar, that almighty dollar, which is why we formed a nonprofit. I didn't want it to be about that for me. What I wanted it to be about was helping the community and doing things within the community, and not trying to, you know, we're not trying to make money off of people from, you know, what we're selling. We're trying to do good things within the community with the money that we're doing. So very philanthropic.
And it helped them bring, you know, I mean, food is something that we all have to have.
Well, you know, and that's what I broke it down to for me when we were going through all that. I was like, what are the three basic needs? Our basic needs are food, shelter, and clothing, right? I mean, those are the three things that you absolutely have to, well, and water. So there's four things that you absolutely have to have in order to survive. Now, you know, then the sad thing that I see is when I go to food banks, because I've been low income before myself and I've had to utilize food banks, but it's all processed foods. It's all old foods. It's all, you know, so are we saying then because you don't have, you don't make a lot of money that you should eat differently than other people? And I don't agree with that idea.
So. Well, I think that's what is actually scary when I look at it anyway, is the fact that I'm from Detroit. Right. You know, and if I remember correctly, you know,
I grew up in Detroit.
Right. So, you know, in parts of Detroit, you you cannot even. I mean, when we were kids, you know, and I'm not that much younger than you, is that you could still get fresh foods. I mean, it may be a long walk, but you could get fresh. I remember going to get chickens with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, down at I think it was Eastern Market we had to go, but you could get you know still get fresh eggs, fresh chicken, stuff like that.
Right.
You can't do it anymore. It's not it. I mean, like the last place I lived where I could literally get stuff from a farm that was fresh, that if they didn't grow it, you couldn't buy it, was in Charleston.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of research for grants and stuff. So mm-hmm. I look at a lot of numbers of different things, like, just production wise. You know, we as the United States is the 17th. For food production, Indonesia is number one. So now you have to start looking and going, well, why is our food production so low in compared to other countries? Why are we buying it from other countries where their standards are different than our standards? And, you know, where we're not sure what we're getting, how it's grown or anything like that. It just makes sense to kind of bring it home and do it within your community to me. So you know what, and people do want to know where their food is coming from. There's a big push now. You know, where is my food coming from? So to have a farm right here in Dearborn, where you know we're paying attention to,
right, exactly, where you can actually go, because I mean people can mm-hmm. just go over there and see how their food's being grown.
Yep,
right?
You can definitely we can do farm tours. We actually have a community garden space. We have I think 20 some lots available this year. If you want to come garden up there, it is in a fenced in area, 8-foot fencing or 9-foot fencing all around the property. So it's safe and it's secure, and it's a place where people can grow their own food if they don't have space at their own homes. Because a lot of people like to grow their own foods. There is a calmness about it, too. There is a, you know, I'll tell you, when I first start getting my, you know, after I've planted everything, when I start harvesting every year and I go up to the farm and I get my spinach and my lettuce and my tomato and my cucumber, and I grew it all and I put it all together, there's such a sense of satisfaction from that. I mean, you know, maybe not everyone's going to get that, but for me, I feel so proud that, hey, I grew it and now I'm eating it, and it just seems right to me.
Stay tuned for more Impact on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder, here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof, just move it your way.
For an hour a day. Because moving every day puts you on the offense towards a stronger you.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Bugs.
So be a player.
Be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
You said it at www.letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford Community College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HFCC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFCC's 5101 Restaurant.
Hey, this is Stone Perkins. Do you know what my favorite time of the week is? You guessed it, Saturday nights from 8 until 10 right here on WHFR for Five Gears in Reverse. It's an alternative music show that features new indie and even plays older alternative tracks that go all the way back into the 1960s. You'll find it all here, punk, blues, indie, ska, garage, and a whole lot more. So why don't you join me Saturday nights from 8 until 10 for Five Gears in Reverse. Maybe I could make it your favorite time of the week, too. Until then, keep it locked right here for all of our cool shows on WHFR 89.3 FM and on the web at WHFR.FM.
My name is Sean Lewis, and you are listening to Impact on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM. Heidi, let me ask you this. What type of PR things are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing a lot of new different things. So, you know, giving out gardening tips on Facebook, letting people know what we're doing, whether, you know, it's how we had an article featured in the Best Dearborn Stories in 2013, or how we're working with 6 or 7 HFCC students. We'll probably be working with them on March 22nd and 23rd to get our seeds planted. So just letting people know we're out there. I'm starting a Twitter where you can follow us at TGGF_Michigan. And, you know, just even reaching out to the media, Fox News, the Detroit News, all these local media outlets, and just letting them know, you know, about the Going Green Foundation.
Letting them know we're here and that we're trying. And we need help. We would love help. It's been based on volunteers. No one in the foundation or that has worked over the 5 years has received a paycheck. It's all been done on volunteer hours, because people really believe, I think, in what we're trying to accomplish there.
And you have people from all over.
Yeah, we do. We get people not even just from Dearborn. We get people from Canton and from Plymouth and from Brownstown. You know, just people that are very concerned with the foods. I mean, you know, and they want to support something local. They like that it's, you know, they like how we're growing. I'll tell you what, I can't keep kale at the farmer's market. We sell out every week. Yeah. Anything we bring up Dearborn's Farmers Market, that's going to start May 30th. We'll be there on May 30th. And if you want your vegetable plants, come see us, because we'll have those started, all organic, heirloom seeds available to buy. You know, that's another thing some people don't know, where, you know, you go to Home Depot and they have a couple different varieties. If it doesn't say organic or heirloom, you're probably getting a GMO something. You know, so that's another thing, is just educating people. You know, another thing that we did is we implemented the Chef's Moves to School program at Long Elementary this year. We brought in Chef Eric from here, from HFCC. By the way, if you get a chance to go to the 5101 restaurant, it features a lot of our collard greens. You can check that out. And we actually just had a meeting with them last week, and we will be exclusively growing for the culinary department here.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you'll be growing the food here for HFCC that they use for their students.
For their students and for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Then we also got we have a meeting tomorrow, and I know we're moving forward with Scotty O'Hatties here in Dearborn. It's a local couple that started their own Tabasco sauce business. They're getting a lot of heat. I'll use that, a little pun there. Heat with their business, and they sell a Tabasco sauce with ghost peppers. We'll be growing all their peppers for them and the tomatoes that are going in their sauces. So once again, trying to keep it local, trying to reduce the carbon footprint, make things cost effective for people, and just help others.
So is this something that can be replicated? I mean, is this something that if I wanted to do something like this in Detroit or in eCourse?
Most definitely. And that's why we wanted to start the nonprofit, is so we could help other communities that were interested in starting things, that we could help them with that. We wanted to start and have a model of some sort for people that could come in and duplicate it. Most definitely. I think that it'd be nice to see a little community farm in every community.
Now, just to let you guys know, you can find them on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/the-going-green-foundation. And let me make sure. Yep, that's correct. You can find them there. That's right. You can find them there. And Heidi, where else can it be found?
Oh, yeah, on Twitter, it would be at capital T. G G F underscore and then capital M-I.
Okay. All right.
So TGGF, so the yep. Going Green Foundation.
Absolutely.
Abbreviated. And Michigan.
Soon, and soon you'll start seeing flyers and stuff all over the place to let you guys know. And, you know, I've known Maureen for a little while, and I can tell you that she definitely has a passion for this. Is it, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I know her, so I know for a fact that this is.
You know me.
That,
you come over and get food. Tell them.
I sure do.
I come over and get your greens and tomatoes,
and I eat, and it's and it's delicious. And so it is definitely. You know, you can also find them at www.thegoinggreenfoundation.org. They have a volunteer opportunities page. They have a contact us page.
Definitely trying to, you know, update it some more. We're trying to get a newsroom page on there too for the media. So, you know.
And then there's a lot of great different little places I'm finding that have great information, like Attainable Sustainable. You know, there's different places out there that can give you information. We're welcome. We want to help people, so if you have questions, but we're kind of learning as we go, too.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing that they're going to put on there is, like I said, is a donation page. You can donate to us in a couple different ways, either by your time. We also have a brick paver program. You can put your family's name or, you know, a loved one's name. Say somebody passed away that was an avid gardener or very into food systems, or you just want to commemorate or honor somebody, you can get a paver. With their name on it, and that'll be a way to help us build up there as well. And then we have a program where you can also help us with our orchard. You would almost adopt a tree. That tree would be placed with your name and have a plaque on it. And then I believe it's once the fruit starts coming in, you get X amount of bushels per year for up to, I think it's 5 years. So it's a way to help us, but also to get something back for yourself. You know,
and, you know, yeah. And here's the thing. Remember, this is local. I mean, you can literally walk up the street and...
I do. I walk to the farm all the time. It's 3 blocks away from the house.
I mean, we've all been there, and to actually see your food being made, that's something that doesn't happen. I mean, like, you know, it's funny when this is right on topic. I was once, my girl has a son, and I gave him chicken on the bone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was younger then. He's 8 now. I mean, but he had no clue that that's actually what chicken was, because he had never had chicken.
He'd
on the
had
bone.
A nugget. He didn't know that they had bones.
He had nuggets. I mean, like, you know, he didn't even know it was chicken. I said, we're going to eat this chicken. He said, well, this isn't chicken. And he was serious. And now, as silly as that sound is, as funny as it is, many of us have no clue where our food comes from.
No, we don't. When you ask a child, where does your food come from? They're going to say a grocery store.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that before it got to the grocery store, it had to be someplace else.
It had to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing is really the kids. If you get the kids, if you start educating the children about all this stuff, they're going to grow up with the knowledge. Yeah. And they're going to understand, they're going to make those better choices as they get older as well. So.
And I think that's the great thing about the Going Green Foundation is, like, it is very, like, honest and open communication with the public, because you can just go on the farm and, like, see the practice, while with farms, you know, in other states where our food is probably coming from, you can't just stop in.
Monsanto's not going to let you on their farm.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't have a problem with people coming out on the farm and taking a look. And as a matter of fact, we actually have an area right in front. There's 5 5-foot by 36-foot raised bed gardens. There's a lot of herbs that are grown in there and different things, and that is free to the community to come pick up. I mean, you can come pick it at any time, and that's just for the community, something that we wanted to do as a give back to the community, you know, as a thank you. We had a lot of community volunteers when we first started going. Took us a lot of time to get those beds in and then moving all the compost and stuff. And we also have a 76 by 26 foot hoop house up as well. So we can extend our growing season. Right now, HFCC is in there, and a lot of the greens that you're seeing at the restaurant currently come right from the farm.
Okay. All right. So it, and again, that farm is in Dearborn. This is something that's happening right here and Dearborn. And pretty soon, now you said something about chickens a little bit earlier.
I did. I found out when I was having a meeting with the mayor and some other people a couple weeks ago that I said I really want to do chickens, and I found out that there is an ordinance in place where we could do that. So we should have them. I think they're going to be there tonight, actually. They're working on getting the chickens in right now. Hens, no roosters, so we're just really interested in the egg production part of it.
And this will be actual free-range chickens, right?
They will. They'll be free-range. We're not going to, encase them or try and grow six legs off of one chicken. We're not modifying them at all. Right. These are all naturally. They've got natural feed.
Yeah.
It's all organic feed or vegetable waste from the farm that they'll be fed. So it's all, you're getting all organic.
But it's food,
things.
Though. I mean,
oh,
actual
yeah.
food.
Oh, yeah. There's chicken feed. There's one that's made with some corn, and there's another one that's made with a couple different other things that chickens like. Yeah, and so we picked up the feed today, and the chickens in the coop will be in at about 2 o'clock right now. They should be up at the farm now. So they're getting acclimated. The big thing is that we are going to, there's always challenges. We're learning with everything that we do. So, they do have their own coop. They have a little nesting area and a run for them, all built into like a big coop area. So that's going to be put there, but there is certain things when you're working with livestock as opposed to vegetables, and there has to, there's a lot of different things that we had to learn. Like it has to be so far away from the vegetable production because you don't want any cross contamination.
Of course.
So there's a lot of things that we're doing. Right now we're going to start with 4, and hopefully by the end of the summer we'll be up to about, it depends what the city says. It's probably around 20 to 40 chickens so this year.
Okay, and then people will be able to see you at the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah, every week at the farmer's market. The other thing that we're doing on the website, and that should be up in the next couple of weeks, is an online ordering system. So what we would be doing is it'd be kind of where you can go to our website. You can see what we have harvested that week and what's available. You could make your selections, and then you can pick up your box from the farmer's market. If you'd like that delivered, we would be able to do that as well for a small fee.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, and that would be in the Dearborn area, right? Just
in the Dearborn area. Yeah, right. We're trying to keep it as local as possible right now. Obviously, I'm a Dearborn resident. This is where my kids go to school and my kids are growing up, and I really want to support this community. And even though Dearborn has been very affluent for many, many years, Dearborn itself has gotten hit just like every other community right now. We know that there were some budget issues and different things. So, we're seeing, reduced and free lunches go up in the schools. We're seeing people still having issues with the home and the economy and jobs, So whatever we can do to make it a little bit easier on them, that's what we're going to do. And eventually, eventually I want to get into container homes and solar panels and wind generators. I'm all about all of it, but I had to start someplace.
Stay tuned for more Impact on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
You feel petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments, not knowing what to do. You do nothing. But if you do something, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every 4 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ford Community College gift cards are a great way to show your support for someone in your life who is seeking the skills necessary to fulfill their dreams. Available in values from $10 to $100, gift cards can be used towards payment of tuition, purchasing books and supplies, lab fees, or even a lunch at Skylight Cafe. Gift cards can be purchased at the campus bookstore or online at collegestore.hfcc.edu. College gift cards. What better way to encourage a student in your life than with an investment in their future?
Big Band. Broadway.
You'll be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on the plate.
And beyond. Hello, I'm Joe, host of Big Band Broadway and Beyond, every Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Each week we play the best of American band music, past and present. Included in this is the score of a Broadway musical. Join us every Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Big Band Broadway and Beyond on the station Making Waves.
My name is Sean Lewis, and you are listening to Impact. On the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM. And then, like you said, the food thing, that's something everyone has to have. I mean, there's right. No being hungry. If you got kids, you don't want them hungry. You know, if you don't want to be hungry.
No, so. I mean, and that's one of the big things that you know, I sit on a couple different boards, and I was part of the parent committee for my son's preschool, which was... through, I'm trying to remember what it was called, but it was, you know, gosh, Sean, I'm trying to think of what it, Head Start. My son went to Head Start. Right. So I sat on the parent committee and then the policy committee. And with some of the things that some of these kids aren't eating when they go home. I mean, the only foods that they're getting are what's at the schools. So even when this, you know, when we have these bad winter days, they might not eat that day. And that concerns me. I'm a parent, you know, I'm not Italian, but I feel like it. Mangia, mangia. It's like I want to feed everybody. but those kids, you know, it's the kids. And I'll tell you what, we did children's program for the last 4 years. I had parents coming up to me after the program said my kid never ate spinach, but he's eating spinach now because they pick it right up at the farm. Also, we have strawberries that come in every year, and the kids, they come in, they get the straw. We never have strawberries to sell because everyone eats them before we get them to actual market, which is a good thing, though, because they're enjoying them, right?
Right.
And then some of the new things that we've done this year, and we're going to be working with HFCC to start processing our own foods as well. So one of the things that we did last year, and we'll do that this year, is we had mulberry and raspberry jam. And that's going to be available at the market. Yep.
And it'll be fresh.
Fresh. Yep. Fresh. I mean, you know, normally what we do is we harvest on Thursdays. Market is on Fridays. So you know that we just picked it the day before. So it's really fresh.
Now that's super important. I mean, that's about as fresh as it gets. Yeah. You know?
Unless you come up and pick it and eat it right there.
I remember, and again, going back to how people aren't used to their food being fresh or knowing where it comes from. I went to this is years and years ago. I was still in high school. I was with my mom at the fish market. And my mom asked this guy, how do I know that the catfish is fresh? So he poked it and it moved.
What?
And it freaked her out so much that she didn't want to buy it. You know, because it was like, oh, what is this?
It's still kind of alive. It's right. Kind of like when you cut the chicken's head off and it still will run and around still the backyard. Moving.
But if you went somewhere else, having been over, you know, if you go overseas, they won't buy it unless they know it's fresh. You know, right. What I'm saying? Like right. Unless it's kind of still moving, you know, and there's a restaurant in Japan where you can buy, I don't know how they do it, but they fry this fish up, but the head is still going. I'm making the fish face, you know, still.
Still making that. Oh, my
God. Yeah, yeah.
See, and I don't want to eat things that are still alive.
I
like fresh food, but.
The only reason I say is because it's because they know where their food is from. They know that it had to die from somewhere, and it's they know it's good.
Right.
You just
ate it. I mean, and that's why the foundation has plans eventually, you know, once the farm is rocking, and we hope that the farm will start rocking pretty soon. And, you know, the farm, with what we plant and sow and sell, we should be able to keep the farm very sustainable, that business, and we would be able to hire people within the community. And then once that gets going, our next plan, you know, I'm always looking to the future. I want to do aquaculture. So that's where we would grow our own shrimp and tilapia in inside warehouses, keeping the mercury down, controlling the environment, because that's another thing that you're finding, is that you're finding that, like, a lot of this fresh fish is starting to have issues because of BP oil spills and different things that are going on in the ocean. They're finding high mercury content. Yeah, and that's not good for us either. So, you know, that's going into a more controlled environment as well. I'd really like to see that. And quite honestly, you know, here we go. If something, for me, this is another thing that happened. You know, when we had that blackout, remember when New York went down and we had the blackout for a couple days and everyone went down and couldn't get food and stuff in? The whole thing about being sustainable and being a sustainable community is, if something like that happened, we would have our own food source. We would have water that we were, you know, collecting underground. We would have the things that we needed in order to survive if something were to happen. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I've lived with one. And I just believe in being, you might as well be safe rather than
sorry. You might as well know where you're, I mean, know where your stuff comes from, right?
Yeah.
So Heidi, let me ask you something. What else are you guys doing to kind of get the word out?
Okay, so we have, like, volunteer postings on volunteermatch.org. We already mentioned the flyers, the Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing. You know, we're just doing what we can, you know. We're going to try to get on Fox News. We have some pretty big plans.
And, like, a YouTube video page and...
Yeah, definitely. We have YouTube. I mean, you know, we'll probably get videos going more on the site, too.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things that we have produced for a couple different programs we were in. We were running one of the... in the running for the Intuit Big Game. And so we've got a real nice presentation there. Some of the things that we're doing is we're really trying to get, you know, local support through our government. So, you know, we're trying to really push to try and get some meetings with George Duraney, our state rep, Senator Morris Hood, Debbie Stabenow, and Dingell. I'd like to speak to John Dingell before he gets out of office, because I do believe that this is a project that people can get behind and believe in and really help support and get the word out. So that's so we're working.
So you're really taking this on a, even though you're doing things locally, you're really taking this on a bigger scale.
Well, you know, for me, it's all about acting locally, but thinking globally. That makes a lot of sense to me, and it makes it, you know, sometimes people get to the point where they look at this and they go, there's so much going on in the world. And then because there's so much, you can't do anything because you don't know where to start. This is a start, and that's all it is. It's a start to look at things in a sustainable way, to get the community thinking about that, educating them, and then we'll see what we can do. I believe that there's lots of room to grow and lots of things that we can do in the community that's sustainable.
Well, no, that sounds good. I mean, again, this is a place where You can go see how your food is grown, or you can go see and even participate in getting it
done. And we're going to have certain hours set up that you can come up and actually, you know, if you don't want to wait till Friday to come up to the farmer's market to see us and say you need something, you know, right away, you know, we're going to make sure that you have access to our farm manager, Norm Colito, or us up at the farm, you know, because we all, you know, most of the volunteers live pretty close by. And in the summer months, we are really there from about 8 a.m. till about 6 at night. So we will have stuff locally. The other thing that we do is we do a farmer's market for our PTA. I am the PTA president over at Long Elementary School. So what we did is we've kind of wanted to find a way to connect the farm and the school a little bit more. And so what we started doing is having a farmer's market after school on Thursdays, and then whatever we make, we give a portion of that back to the PTA as well. So once again, trying to support that school, trying to support the community, just trying to make things a little bit better for people.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank you guys for coming. really appreciate it. You know, thanks for letting everyone know what's out there and what they can do to help. You know, I mean, this is amazing to be able to feed people and give them and let them know where their food comes from. That is an amazing thing, and to help people eat. I mean,
and to feed them organically at the same cost as non-organic. And I've got to reiterate this. That's because it's something that kind of upset me. Is because I was eating organically for many years, and there is a higher cost associated with it, and that doesn't make sense to me. It because it's better for you. Now we're going to charge more money for it. To me it was really important to make the playing field level for everybody. So to bring that cost at the same cost as, so if you know organic's better for you and you're at the farmer's market and my tomato is the same as a non-organic tomato, I'm hoping you're going to buy the organic tomato at the same cost.
Well, I would hope so, you know. Ladies, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Heidi, let them know one more time how people can volunteer.
Oh, okay. So you can go to www.thegoinggreenfoundation.org and go to contact us, and we'll be in touch with you. Or you can locate us on www.volunteermash.org and just search for the Going Green Foundation.
All right. Well, that sounds great. This is Sean Lewis, and I'm sitting here with Maureen McArath and Heidi Bree, and you're listening to Impact on 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. Don't go anywhere. We still have more Impact on 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Take care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside. Post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project. People helping warriors like T. So I figured, who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through? Now, I don't know what they do there, but my T is smiling again. So I figured they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors return from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
A very important key in keeping a healthy lifestyle is fitness. Why not condition yourself as well as your mind here at Henry Ford Community College? The Health and Physical Education curriculum offers both a two-year Associate's in Applied Science as well as a certificate program, both offering a wide variety of courses including exercise physiology, nutrition, and physical conditioning. For more information, you can call 313-845-6318 or on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
Snake, what are you doing?
I'm picking up some strange interference on the Kodak. Listen.
It's-a-me, Mario. It's-a-me, Mario.
Snake, you've discovered the jump button frequency. Yeah, every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. at this frequency, 89.3 FM, they will play music from video games, movies, anime, and more. Sounds super dorky. At its finest. Only on the station making waves, WHFR.
Snake? Snake? Snake!
Welcome back to Impact. I'm your host, Sean Lewis. And you know, we just learned a lot about the Going Green Foundation, and I really hope that you'll go out and support them. They're doing a lot of new things, and it's right here in Dearborn. You know, it's a great way to learn about farming, not just for yourself, but also for your children too. Now, what we're going to do to end the show, I'm going to play something from their website. This is a commercial. Actually, it's not from their website. It's from their YouTube page. And it really tells you why they do what they do and how they help our community right here in Dearborn. You know, and this is something that's very important. Everyone needs food. Everyone needs fresh food. And a lot of times we don't know what is in our food. And if you want to know what you are eating, if you want to know exactly what goes into your food, head on over to the Crawley Park Farm. It's right there. You can learn exactly what you're supporting. And when you get ready to support them, go to the website, www.thegoinggreenfoundation.org. Or you can look for them on Facebook just by searching the Going Green Foundation. Or finally, just go to the farmer's market. By the time this airs, it should be open. They're usually open on Fridays. And it's so worth it to head on over there, get yourself some fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and soon to have fresh eggs. And maybe even some fresh meat. I don't know. But if you want to know what's in your food and you don't want to eat GMO all the time, check them out.
Next step for us was to start a not-for-profit because we realized that the cost to develop this 2.5 acres was going to be quite high.
Well, the Crawley Park Sustainable Farm came out of our initiative to try to start having neighborhood farms. And we had a couple neighborhood associations that decided to put in using vacant lots. And what happened is Going Green, together with the Crawley Neighborhood Park Association, decided that instead of just developing a single lot, they wanted to do something really unique on a grander scale. And so we started talking about a part of Crawley Park that has basically been underutilized. The city of Dearborn has done a lot of things that we've tried to really look at how to have a sustainable future and how to reduce our carbon footprint. We've done our whole DPW yard, which is usually a public works yard, you think of as junky. We've actually done all kinds of work at the yard now to make it environmentally friendly. We're doing natural captures of water, natural plantings, things like that. We have a green roof that's been here for over 30 years at City Hall. A lot of people don't realize that, but one of the first green roofs in the area was built by Dearborn City Hall to connect two buildings in a way that is functional, but has been able to allow us to have green space, to have a beautiful setting, and it's sustainable. So we really committed. Across the street, we're building a parking deck that has already in it and will be built with electrical charging plugs for electric and hybrid cars. So we're really trying to look at every aspect of what the city does, and we think that this garden at Crawley Park is going to be a great example of how we're going to learn by experience on what works and what doesn't work, and how we can take the elements we already have at a marginal cost and really reinvent our properties into things that are sustainable and make sense for the future. And so I think, you know, Dearborn and other communities and every citizen needs to think about how we interface with the earth, how we interface with the environment around us, and it's critical that we make a little effort and we raise our own awareness. So I think this is a great opportunity to do that.
We're happy to say that we have broken ground on phase one as of June 12th. Right now we have 5 5-foot by 36-foot raised beds in, and next year these raised beds will be our senior gardens, healing gardens, herb garden, and children's garden. We were fortunate to receive a seed and plant grant from Wayne Metropolitan this year. The agreement with them, though, is that any food that is produced from these plants and seeds this year is going to be given free to low-income families. We feel very fortunate that we are going to be able to help families this year. And as you can see, we have some beautiful plants growing. We feel very fortunate that we were able to get that grant through them. And we'll continue to seek their support over the next few years. From a garden to a farm to a sustainable community, we really are on our journey to sustainability.
All it took was an idea and a first step. What's yours going to be?
Government and community working together for a sustainable.
sometimes life chooses you. It's become, it's taken on a life of its own. This farm, this organic farm is now my life, and I am now a farmer. And I don't, you know, really not sure how that happened, but happy that it did.
I've never seen sunrise my entire life.
So people always ask, you know, is this a passion of yours? Were you a gardener? Were you a farmer? Is this something that you always wanted to do? And my response is no. Sometimes I think we make choices in life, and I think sometimes life makes choices for us, or things get put in our path, and that's the path we're supposed to be on. So I kind of ran with all this, you know, from the garden to the farm, and I've gotten to the point now where, you know, this is consuming my life. This is basically what I do with my time. My time is now focused on the foundation and getting the farm up and running and getting funds for the farm and writing the grants and trying to get, you know, corporate sponsorship and people backing me. It was not the path I thought I was going to be on in my life, probably because my life didn't start in, you know, in this particular field in agriculture. I mean, eventually my main goal, one of the things that I really like to do, and then this is probably down the line once the farm is kind of fully up and running and kind of taking care of itself, that farm, from what I've been told, can produce on its own about $250,000 a year. And we're not going to need $250,000 a year to operate that. So then that money then would go back to the foundation. And what we would like to do then with that money is start taking some of these homes that have been foreclosed, purchase them, redo them, rehabbing them in a green, off-the-grid way, and then making them available to people who are interested in those types of homes. And also making people more interested into moving maybe back to Dearborn, and kind of reestablishing this community as it was. You know, this has been a great community for a lot of years, and like all municipalities right now, it is struggling just like anybody else. They are $20 million negative in their budget. They are having some troubles, just like, you know, other municipalities are. And our goal is to not just do this in Dearborn, but then to be able to show people in other communities that they themselves can do it as well, and then make this like the pilot where they can then duplicate the efforts that we've made and make it available there.
The Going Green Foundation is a nonprofit whose purpose is to educate, promote, develop, and raise awareness of environmentally friendly and sustainable lifestyles and philosophies, as well as actually bringing together our community through these projects to support health in a real way. But we have more to grow. So far, we have broken ground on 2.5-acre sustainable organic farm. We have created this farm in an urban environment. We have been able to serve the needs of our community in a real way. We have made organically grown produce available to everyone at the same cost as non-organic produce by donating over 2,000 pounds of food to our local food banks and by selling our produce at local farmers markets. We also support our local school and its PTA with an after-school farmers market and by implementing the Chef's Move to School program at our local school with the help of Henry Ford Community College. What we need now is your support to expand our efforts. We have more land to develop, and we would like to help other communities duplicate what we have done. By acting local and thinking global, we have the ability to bring food security to each and every community for a sustainable future for all.
You have been listening to Impact. If you would like to learn more about the Going Green Foundation, you can find them at www.thegoinggreenfoundation.org. Thank you for listening, and be sure to stay tuned to WHFR Dearborn.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
That's right, you are listening to the only station making waves, WHFR.FM.
WHFR Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of The Best of Broadway.